Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, we're going to be looking at a couple verses from Matthew chapter 28. Over the last handful of weeks, we've been walking through this series called Make, where we've been looking at the call that Jesus gives to his followers, that he didn't just give to his first followers, that he didn't just give to what we would maybe call the disciples or the apostles, but it's a call that extends from when Jesus gives it in Matthew chapter 28, right down to us today, to our kids and to their kids and to all of the generations till the Lord returns. And we've been looking at what it means for us to walk out this call, what it means for us to walk out the call to be makers, for us to make, specifically, as Jesus will tell us, that his call and his purpose, his mission for us, is to make disciples. And so we've talked about this from a few different angles, and Pastor Lori gave a great message last week on the Holy Spirit empowering us to do this. But as we talk about this call on our lives, and as we talk about this thing that God has called us to do, for many of us, the idea that God has called us to do this puts us in a tension spot. Puts us in a conflicting place, in a conflicting spot in our lives, because it can be a challenge to wrap our minds around what it means for us to actually go and do this. So by way of an experiment, to get to the heart of what we're going to talk about this morning, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand if you would describe yourself as busy. As a busy person, if you would say, in my life, I'm pretty busy. And some, like, there's no shame in it. There's no shame. But some of those hands were like, whoa, yeah. Some were like, oh, what's he going to make me do if I raise my hand? I don't have time to raise my hand if he's going to make me do something. Now, for some of us, busy may not even begin to describe it. That, you know, have you ever gone to somebody's house where they have a very definite, you've gone to somebody's house for a meal where they have a very different definition of what spicy means? Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, it's a little bit spicy. And you're like, oh, I can do a little bit of spicy. And then you take a bite and you're like, hey, this is not a little bit spicy. And they're like, oh, it's not bad. I made it safer for you. And, you know, this happens when I go to dinner at my Nigerian friend's house. They're like, we made it safe for you. And I'm like, oh, great. And then I try something. This is safe? For many of us, the word busy doesn't even begin to describe it. That we would say, oh, I left busy in the dust a long time ago. And it can be a thing that we wear as like either a badge of honor or a weight of responsibility. I know that in my life, lots of times, people will come, you know, just by nature at church or wherever, and people will come and say, oh, Pastor Brad, how are you? How are things going? And you know, you'll respond with, like, or I'll respond with, like, oh, things are going pretty good. Like, things are good. But then I'll catch myself and I'll realize, but I have to say, but I am very busy. Things are good, but I'm busy. I'm really busy. Because we can carry this weight that if we admit that we're living our lives at a pace that's healthy, that we're living our lives at a pace that's attainable, that we're living our lives in a way that we're not going to run ourselves into the ground, that somehow that's wrong, that it's guilt, that I should be ashamed that I'm not more busy. And it can be a weight that for so many of us, we carry in our lives, that I have to be busy, and if I'm not busy, and if I don't feel like I'm being busy, then am I doing enough? And so this is the tension, that when we come to church and we're told God has something more for you to do, that for many of us, the response to that is, I can't do another thing. I am so busy, I cannot be busier. And so I come to church, and what I hear from the pastor is, you're not doing enough. That's not okay. I can't do more. And in fact, maybe in your life right now, you think to yourself, maybe what would be the best thing for me right now is actually if God would call me to do less things. That if the pastor, instead of saying, here's more things you would do, that if I could just go to church one Sunday and the pastor would say, here's three things you can stop doing, I would really like that sermon. I would really like that message. And so when we talk about being called to be disciple makers, that in addition to everything you're doing in your life, that for many of us, the greatest obstacle that we can face in that is just recognizing, I don't have time for that. You want me to suddenly start finding all these people and pouring into them and connecting with them and all of these things. I don't have time for that. It's not a bridge that we can't cross. It's a bridge that we can't even begin to comprehend how to cross in our lives. I just don't have time for that. And so when we come to Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. And it's some of the very last words that he will speak to his closest followers. And he makes this statement to them in verses 20 or 19 and 20 of Matthew 28. He will say this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And for our time together today, I just want to focus on the first two words of that. I just want to focus on when Jesus says, "Therefore, go." Now, there's a principle in scripture, and a principle in Bible reading and in Bible study, where whenever we start a passage, or whenever you're reading a passage and it begins with therefore, you want to find out what the therefore is there for. It is referring to something that came in the past. The term therefore, it simply means in light of. So in light of what I've just said, then this. And so a simple reading of this would be, in light of what I just said, go. And that's not totally inaccurate. Just before Jesus gives his followers this command, just before he says, therefore, he tells them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That everything that is, and everything that everything that's known, and everything that's unknown, everything that's seen, and everything that's unseen, he has been given all authority. So in light of this, go. But there's actually something else to see here that we can't really see in how we read these words the way we read them. Because if you were to take these words in the original Greek and translate them directly to English, not just translate, but transliterate them, where you're taking the literal words, you wouldn't get, therefore, go. You would actually get a phrase that sheds a bit of a different understanding. Instead of therefore, go, we would get, so as you're going. All authority is his in heaven and on earth. So as you're going, make disciples. And to help us understand this so as you're going concept to make disciples, I want to share something incredibly basic with you. Something almost rudimentary that I guarantee you every single one of you here knows this. This will not be profound to you. You will not say, I've never thought about that. In fact, you may specifically and intentionally in this moment be thinking this very thing. I was reading a book on discipleship, and it was the title of one of the chapters, and it just struck me so clearly. And so I want to share this phrase with you to help us understand a bit of what we're talking about when we talk about discipleship. This may be what you're thinking right now. Everybody needs to have lunch. And in this moment right now, you may have never said it a louder amen eternal or internally in church ever. You could even say it out loud if you want. Everybody needs to have lunch. And you may be saying, Pastor, you're speaking to me right where I'm at in this moment. The Lord is speaking to me. It is time for lunch. But there's actually a profound truth in this that I want us to see. See, a lot of us have things going on in our lives. We have roles, we have to-do lists, we have responsibilities, we have plans, we have places to go, we've got people to see, we've got things to do. But remember, what Jesus said to us is, as you are going. That means that we're not called to add something. See, the phrase, therefore go, sounds like in response to what we've just heard, we now need to go. We need to do something. We need to do something different than what we were doing. But when we understand that the heart behind it is, so as you are going, it changes our understanding of exactly what it is that Jesus is calling us to do. That means we're not called to do something in addition. It means that we're not called to change course. It means that we're not called to add another thing. That means we don't have to add or adopt a whole new lifestyle, because we all have rhythms and we all have routines and we all have things going on in our lives. And Jesus will say to us, as you are going, as you are doing those things, as you're walking through the rhythms of your life, as you're going through the routines of your life, as you're doing all the things you have going on, in this context, Jesus says, as you are going, make disciples. And we're actually given a picture of what this looks like way back in the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we see God speaking to his people. And he comes to this place where he gives them a commandment. Now, if you know the Old Testament, you think, oh, God gives commandments in the Old Testament. Big surprise. Yes. But this is an important one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, God gives this commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, we know from Scripture that, from the New Testament, from Jesus, that this just isn't just an Old Testament commandment. But this is the Old Testament commandment. Jesus says this is the most important commandment. In the New Testament, we see where somebody comes to Jesus and they ask him this question. Say, Jesus, what is the most important commandment in all of the Old Testament? And we see Jesus' response tells them Deuteronomy 6:5. Well, he doesn't actually tell them Deuteronomy 6:5. The chapters and the verses, the Bible wasn't actually written like that. When the Bible was originally written, it didn't have chapter 1, chapter 2, and all those verse marks. Those were added later by guys named Stephanus and Beza, and they were added just so that we can find things in the Bible quicker, that so we can know where to look. But we read Jesus' response to what was the greatest commandment in Matthew chapter 22. A man comes to Jesus and says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the most important thing that comes out of the Old Testament, the most important command that you can follow. And so in Deuteronomy, when we're given this most important commandment, God also tells us how we're to ensure that the next generation and the next generation and the next generation know about this. We're told how to pass along what it is that we've been given. And we've talked about how that is what discipleship is, to pass along what you've been given. You have been entrusted with some things from God. And so your job is to pass the things you've been entrusted with to pass them on to someone else. And so God talks to us about this in Deuteronomy. How are we supposed to pass along what we've been given? How are we to do that? Through pastors, through kids directors, through Sunday school, through VBS, through organized classes and textbooks, through youth pastors. No, he calls us to share it along or to pass it along as we go. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 6. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. How are we to pass this most important commandment along? How are we to ensure that the next generation and the people around us who need to know? As you go through your life, find and use every opportunity to pass along what you know. If an opportunity comes when you're at home, pass along what you know. If an opportunity comes along when you're out and about, pass it along when you know. Start in the morning. First thing in the morning, be prepared to have an opportunity to pass along the truth of God. And stay that way until you go to bed. Write them as symbols on your wrists. Wear your WWJD bracelets. Write them on the door frames of your house. Hang up your Bible verse signs. I know at our house, we have a load of Bible verse signs on the walls. My wife is like, there's scriptural support for this because she loves to make them. Make sure wherever you go, whatever you're doing, look for an opportunity. From the morning to the night, when you're at home, when you're not at home, wear your Jesus hats. It says impress them on your forehead. Whenever you're doing stuff, look for an opportunity. See, God doesn't recommend Sunday school curriculum. He doesn't recommend a Bible study course. He doesn't say, if you have any questions, go take Alpha. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. In fact, we love them. We're grateful for Sunday school. We're grateful for Bible study. We are grateful for Alpha. But Jesus doesn't say, and God doesn't say, abdicate all responsibility to share the good news and to share the gospel and to share what you've been given to somebody else. God is saying here the same thing that Jesus says later on, that God the Father and Jesus are speaking with one heart in two different places of Scripture, where they say to us, as you are going. God's heart for us is as you are going. As you are going through life, recognize that the moments in your life that you've been given to share and use those moments. So what if discipleship was as simple as inviting someone into your life to come along and be a part of the things you're already doing? We can actually make disciples as we're going. And so I want to ask you this question today. Are there places in your life where you feel like you could invite people in? Maybe you're going to go fishing, and you know people who like to be bored. So invite them to go fishing with you. Maybe you're going on a hike. Invite someone to go hiking with you. Maybe you're going to the gym. Be careful. Because God told me that you should come to the gym with me needs to be received in a certain way. But maybe you're going to the grocery store or taking the dog for a walk. Or going on a bike ride, or doing a Bible study. If you're gonna have lunch, remember, everybody has to have lunch. Is it possible that God wants to use my life as I'm going to use me to make disciples? Has God given me some of the things that are going on in my life to use as opportunities to invest in other people? Using the things that make me so busy. Maybe God wants to use some of those things. See, being a disciple of Jesus, it isn't just about an action. It's not just something we do, but hopefully it becomes a part of who we are. It's not about what we're doing. It's not about that you have all of this part of your life. And then in addition to that, in an extension of that, you're also a disciple. But it's not this part, it's another part. It's not about what we're doing. It's about how we're doing what we're already doing. It's not about being on staff at a church. It's not about being a pastor. In fact, it's not about being a leader at church at all. It's not about a title, it's not about a role, because if it is about any of those things, then it actually becomes about what you're doing. But it's not about what, it's about how. It's about, or if it's about what, then God is asking us to do something different. But that's not what God asked from us. We don't need to change the what. We just need to allow God to shape how. How we're doing what we're doing. How do we approach the things we're already doing? How do we see them? How do we understand their purpose? Are they things that are preventing us from making disciples? Or are they actually some of the very things that God has given to us to fulfill our purpose? God was never asking you to do more. God knows you. God knows your life, and he knows what you're capable of. And he knows when you feel like you're at your limit. And when you're in those moments, God does not come to you and say, you feel like you're about to burn out. I'm really sorry. Here's some more things for you to do. God knows you. God's not asking you to do more. God's asking us to allow him to shape how we do these things. Jesus wasn't asking the disciples to do more. He says to them, so as you're going, as you go from here, as you live your life, as you do the things that you believe you're called to do, as you live your life, go and make disciples. We're simply asked to do what we're doing differently. So three takeaways from our time together today. First, discipleship happens as you go. Making disciples isn't an extra item on your to-do list. It's something that can happen naturally in the everyday rhythms of your life. Jesus' call in Matthew 28, therefore go, is more accurately understood as you are going. So whether you're having lunch, walking the dog, or running errands, God invites you to see these moments as opportunities to invest in someone else. Busyness isn't necessarily a barrier, it could be a bridge. While our lives may feel overwhelmingly full, God isn't asking us to do or add more. He's asking us to see our current lives with fresh eyes. The very things that keep us busy, family, work, hobbies, responsibilities, may actually be some of the tools God wants to use for his purpose. Rather than viewing busyness as something that prevents us from discipling, consider how God might want to work through it. And lastly, it's not about what you're doing, it's about how. Being a disciple and making disciples, it's not about a specific role or task. It's about a way of living. The call is not to change what you're doing, but to change how you see it and why you do it. God's design isn't for you to do more, but to live with intentionality and spiritual awareness in all that you already do. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. And God, you know in the time and in the place we live, God, how busy so many of us live, the pace at which so many of us live. And God, at first I want to begin by praying against this spirit, this desire, this ingrained thing in us that wants to push us further than where we can healthily exist. God, for those who are caught up in busyness, for those who are living at a pace that's unattainable, for those who are living beyond their means in terms of time and energy. God, I just want to pray for them right now. God, I pray that you would settle in their hearts and in their lives, bring peace and bring wisdom and bring discernment. God, we know that in all of our lives, God, there's busy seasons, but God, for those who are living beyond a season, God, I pray that you would give them wisdom and insight. God, that you would bless them with peace and rest. God, your word will tell us, God, in Psalm 23, that you will make us lie down in green pastures. God, I pray for those here today who don't know how to slow down, who don't know how to take a break, who don't know how to not be so busy. God, I pray that you would make them lie down. God, even just for a season. God, whatever that looks like. God, would you bring rest to them? God, it doesn't say that you allow us to lay down, but it says that you will make us to lie down in green pastures. And so, God, I pray that you would bring them peace, bring them rest. God, bring them this time of refreshing in green pastures. God, we pray against busyness and we pray against just this overwhelming nature that we live in. God, would you help us to be healthy? Would you help us to live in a place that's sustainable and attainable? God, we pray that you would just bring real wisdom and insight into our lives. And then God, I pray that in all the things that you've called us to do, in all the things that you've called us to be, in all of our life's responsibilities, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our hobbies, God, would you help us today to see with fresh eyes the world in which you've placed us, the situations in which you've placed us, that we wouldn't just simply see coworkers and neighbors and friends and kids and parents and uncles and whatever else, but God, may we with fresh eyes today see the places and the moments that you've given us as opportunities to go into all the world and make disciples. God, would you give us fresh eyes to see the people around us? Would you give us fresh eyes to see our situations and our roles? God, would you give us fresh eyes to see in today, in our lives today, God, the things that you've given us that maybe we've lost sight on, or maybe we never even realized they were there. God, would you give us fresh eyes today to see what you've given us to help us go into all the world and make disciples. God, I thank you for your willingness to use us. And God, I pray that we would be willing to be used by you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.